Theon. Theon wiped the spittle off his cheek with the back of his hand.
Rumble got you, Greyjoy,
Benfred Tallheart screamed.
He'll feed your turncoat's heart to his wolf, you piece of sheep dung.
Aaron Damphair's voice cut through the insults like a sword through cheese.
Now you must kill him.
I have questions for him first, said Theon.
Fuck your questions,
Benfred hung bleeding and helpless between Stig and Werelag.
You'll choke on them before you get any answers from me, Craven, Turncloak.
Uncle Aaron was relentless.
When he spits on you, he spits on all of us. He spits on the drowned god. He must die.
My father gave me the command here, Uncle,
and sent me to counsel you.
And to watch me. Theon dared not push matters too far with his uncle. The command was his, yes, but his men had a faith in the drowned god that they did not have in him, and they were terrified of Aaron Damphair. I can't fault them for that.
You'll lose your head for this, Greyjoy. The crows will eat the jelly of your eyes.
Benfred tried to spit again, but only managed a little blood.
The others bugger your wet god.
Tallheart, you've spit away your life, Theon thought.
Stig, silence him, he said.
They forced Benfred to his knees. Werelag tore the rabbit skin off his belt and jammed it between his teeth to stop him shouting. Stig unlimbered his axe.
No, Aaron Damphair declared. He must be given to the god, the old way.
What does it matter? Dead is dead.
Take him then. You will come as well. You command here. The offering should come from you.
That was more than Theon can stomach.
You are the priest, uncle. I'll leave the god to you. Do me the same kindness and leave the battles to me.
He waved his hand, and Werelag and Stig began to drag their captive off toward the shore. Aaron Damphair gave his nephew a reproachful look, then followed. Down to the pebbled beach they would go, to drown Benfred Tallheart in salt water, the old way.
Perhaps it's a kindness,
Theon told himself, as he stalked off in the other direction. Stig was hardly the most expert of headsmen, and Benfred had a neck thick as a boar's, heavy with muscle and fat.
I used to mock him for it, just to see how angry I could make him,
he remembered. That had been, what, 3 years past, when Ned Stark had ridden to Torren Square to see Sir Helman. Theon had accompanied him and spent a fortnight in Benfred's company. He could hear the rough noises of victory from the crook in the road where the battle had been fought, if you could go so far as to call it a battle. More like slaughtering sheep, if truth be told.
Sheep fleeced in steel, but sheep nonetheless.
Climbing a jumble of stone, Theon looked down on the dead men and dying horses. The horses had deserved better. Tymor and his brothers had gathered up what mounts had come through the fight unhurt, while Urzen and Black Lauren silenced the animals too badly wounded to be saved. The rest of his men were looting the corpses. Gevin Harlaw knelt on a dead man's chest, sawing off his finger to get it a ring.
Paying the iron price, my lord father would approve.
Theon thought of seeking out the bodies of the two men he'd slain himself, to see if they had any jewelry worth the taking. But the notion left a bitter taste in his mouth. He could imagine what Eddard Stark would have said. Yet that thought made him angry too.
Stark is dead and rotting, and naught to me, he reminded himself.
Old Butley, who was called Fish Whiskers, sat scowling by his pile of plunder while his three sons added to it. One of them was in a shoving match with a fat man named Tudric, who was reeling among the slain with a horn of ale in one hand and an axe in the other, clad in a cloak of white fox fur only slightly stained by the blood of its previous owner.
Drunk,
Theon decided, watching him bellow. It was said that the Iron Men of old had oft been blood-drunk in battle, so berserk that they felt no pain and feared no foe, but this was a common ale-drunk.
Wex, my bow and quiver.
The boy ran and fetched them. Theon bent the bow and slipped the string into its notches, as Todrick knocked down the butler boy and flung ale into his eyes. Fish Whiskers leapt up cursing, but Theon was quicker. He drew on the hand that clutched the drinking horn, figuring to give them a shot to talk about, but Todrick spoiled it by lurching to one side as he loosed. The arrow took him through the belly. The looters stopped agape. Theon lowered his bow. "No drunkards," I said, "and no squabbles over plunder." On his knees, Todrick was dying noisily. "Botley, silence him." Fish Whiskers and his sons were quick to obey. They slit Todrick's throat as he kicked feebly and were stripping him of cloak and rings and weapons before he was even dead.
"Now they know I mean what I say."
Lord Balin might have given him the command, but Theon knew that some of his men saw only a soft boy from the Greenlands when they looked at him. "Anyone else ever thirst?" No one replied. "Good." He kicked at Benfred's fallen banner, clutched in the dead hand of the squire who'd borne it. A rabbit skin had been tied below the flag.
"Why rabbit skins?"
he had meant to ask, but being spat on had made him forget his questions. He tossed his bow back to Wex and strode off, remembering how elated he'd felt after the Whispering Wood, and wondering why this did not taste as sweet.
"Tallheart, you bloody overproud fool, you never even sent out a scout."
They'd been joking and even singing as they'd come on, the three trees of Tallheart streaming above them, while rabbit skins flapped stupidly from the points of their lances. The archers concealed behind the gorse had spoiled the song with a rain of arrows, and Theon himself had led his men-at-arms out to finish the butcher's work with dagger, axe, and warhammer. He had ordered their leader spared for questioning. Only he had not expected it to be Benfred Tallheart. His limp body was being dragged from the surf when Theon returned to his sea bitch. The masts of his longships stood outlined against the sky along the pebbled beach. Of the fishing village nothing remained but the cold ashes that stank when it rained. The men had been put to the sword, all but a handful that Theon had allowed to flee to bring the word to Torren Square. Their wives and daughters had been claimed for salt wives, those who were young enough and fair. The crones and the ugly ones had simply been raped and killed, or taken for thralls, if they had useful skills and did not seem likely to cause trouble. Theon had planned that attack as well, bringing his ships up to the shore in the chill darkness before the dawn, and leaping from the prow with a long axe in his hand to lead his men into the sleeping village. He did not like the taste of any of this, but what choice did he have? His thrice-damned sister was sailing her black wind north even now, sure to win a castle of her own. Lord Balin had let no word of the hosting escape the Iron Islands, and Theon's bloody work along the stony shore would be put down to sea raiders out for plunder. The Northmen would not realize their true peril, not until the hammers fell on Deepwood Mott and Moat Cailin. "And after all is done and won, they will make songs for that bitch, Asher, and forget that I was even here." That is, if he allowed it. Dagmar Cleftjaw stood by the high-carved prow of his longship, Foam Drinker. Theon had assigned him the task of guarding the ships. Otherwise, men would have called it Dagmar's victory, not his. A more prickly man might have taken that for a slight, but the Cleftjaw had only laughed.
"The day is won," Dagmar called down, "and yet you do not smile, boy. The living should smile, for the dead cannot."
He smiled himself to show how it was done. It made for a hideous sight. Under a snowy white mane of hair, Dagmar Cleftjaw had the most gut-churning scar Theon had ever seen, the legacy of the long axe that had near killed him as a boy. The blow had splintered his jaw, shattered his front teeth, and left him four lips where other men had but two. A shaggy beard covered his cheeks and neck, but the hair would not grow over the scar, so a shiny seam of puckered, twisted flesh divided his face like a crevasse through a snowfield.
"We could hear them singing," the old warrior said. "It was a good song, and they sang it bravely."
"They sang better than they fought. Harps would have done them as much good as their lances did."
"How many men are lost?"
"Of ours?" Theon shrugged. "Todrick. I killed him for getting drunk and fighting over loot."
"Some men are born to be killed."
"A lesser man might have been afraid to show a smile, as frightening as his." Yet Dagmar grinned more often and more broadly than Lord Balon ever had. Ugly as it was, that smile brought back 100 memories. Theon had seen it often as a boy, when he'd jumped a horse over a mossy wall, or flung an axe and split a target square. He'd seen it when he'd blocked a blow from Dagmar's sword, when he put an arrow through a seagull on the wing, when he took the tiller in hand and guided a longship safely through a snarl of foaming rocks. He gave me more smiles than my father and Eddard Stark together. Even Rob. He ought to have won a smile the day he'd saved Bran from that wildling, but instead he'd gotten a scolding, as if he were some cook who'd burned the stew. "You and I must talk, uncle," Theon said. Dagmar was no true uncle, only a sworn man with perhaps a pinch of Greyjoy blood 4 or 5 lives back, and that from the wrong side of the blanket. Yet Theon had always called him uncle nonetheless.
"Come into my deck, then."
There were no milords from Dagmar, not when he stood on his own deck. On the Iron Islands, every captain was a king aboard his own ship. He climbed the plank to the deck of the Foam Drinker in 4 long strides, and Dagmar led him back to the cramped aft cabin where the old man poured a horn of sour ale and offered Theon the same. He declined. "We did not capture enough horses. A few, but, well, I'll make do with what I have, I suppose. Fewer men means more glory."
"What need do we have of horses?"
Like most iron men, Dagmar preferred to fight on foot or from the deck of a ship.
"Horses will only shit on our decks and get in our way."
"If we sailed, yes," Theon admitted. "I have another plan." He watched the other carefully to see how he would take that. Without the cleft jaw, he could not hope to succeed. Command or no, the men would never follow him if both Aaron and Dagmar opposed him, and he had no hope of winning over the sour-faced priest.
"Your lord father commanded us to harry the coast, no more."
Eyes pale as sea foam watched Theon from under those shaggy white eyebrows. Was it disapproval he saw there, or a spark of interest? The latter, he thought, hoped. "You are my father's man."
"He's best man, and always have been."
"Pride," Theon thought. "He is proud. I must use that. His pride will be the key." "There is no man in the Iron Islands half so skilled with spear or sword."
"You have been too long away, boy. When you left, it was, as you say, but I'm grown old in Lord Greyjoy's service. The singers call Andric best now. Andric the Unsmiling, they name him. A giant of a man. He serves Lord Drum of Ulwick. And Black Lauren and Carl the Maid are near as dread."
"This Andric may be a great fighter, but men do not fear him as they fear you."
"Aye, that's so," Dagmar said.
The fingers curled around the drinking horn were heavy with rings, gold and silver and bronze, set with chunks of sapphire and garnet and dragon glass. He had paid the iron price for every one, Theon knew. "If I had a man like you in my service, I should not waste him on this child's business of harrying and burning. This is no work for Lord Balon's best man." Dagmar's grin twisted his lips apart and showed the brown splinters of his teeth.
"Nor for his true-born son?" He hooted. "I know you too well, Theon. I saw you take your first step, helped you bend your first bow. 'Tis not me who feels wasted."
By rights, I should have my sister's command, he admitted, uncomfortably aware of how peevish that sounded.
You take this business to our boy. It is only that your lord father does not know you. With your brothers dead and you taken by the wolves, your sister was his solace. He learned to rely on her, and she has never failed him.
Nor have I. The Starks knew my worth. I was one of Brynden Blackfish's picked scouts, and I charged with the first wave in the Whispering Wood. I was that close to crossing swords with the Kingslayer himself. Theon held his hands 2 feet apart. Darren Ornwood came between us and died for it.
Why'd you tell me this?
Dagmar asked.
It was me who put your first sword in your hand. I know you're no craven.
Does my father? The hoary old warrior looked as if he'd bitten into something he did not like the taste of.
It is only Theon, the boy wolf, is your friend, and these Starks had you for 10 years.
I am no Stark.
Lord Eddard thought of that. I'm a Greyjoy, and I mean to be my father's heir. How can I do that unless I prove myself with some great deed? You are young. Other wars will come, and you shall do your great deeds. For now, we are commanded to harry the stony shore.
Let my uncle Aaron see to it. I'll give him 6 ships, all but Foam Drinker and Sea Bitch, and he can burn and drown to his guard's surfeit.
The command was given you, not Aaron Damphair.
So long as the harrying is done, what does it matter? No priest could do what I mean to, nor what I ask of you. I have a task that only Dagmar Cleftjaw can accomplish. Dagmar took a long draught from his horn.
Tell me.
He is tempted, Theon thought. He likes this reaver's work no better than I do. If my sister can take a castle, so can I.
Asher has 4 or 5 times the men we do.
Theon allowed himself a sly smile. But we have 4 times the wits and 5 times the courage.
Your father
will thank me when I hand him his kingdom. I mean to do a deed that the harpers will sing of for 1,000 years.
He knew that would give Dagmar pause. A singer had made a song about the axe that cracked his jaw in half, and the old man loved to hear it. Whenever he was in his cups, he would call for a reaving song, something loud and stormy that told of dead heroes and deeds of wild valour.
His hair is white, and his teeth are rotten, but he still has a taste for glory.
What would my part be in this scheme of yours, boy?
Dagmar Cleftjaw asked after a long silence. And Theon knew he had won. To strike terror into the heart of the foe, as only one of your name could do. You take the great part of our force and march on Torrin Square. Elman Torlart took his best men south, and Benfred died here with their sons. His uncle Leobold will remain with some small garrison. If I'd been able to question Benfred, I would know just how small. Make no secret of your approach. Sing all the brave songs you like. I want them to close their gates.
Is this Torrin Square a strong keep?
Strong enough. The walls are stone, 30 feet high, with square towers at each corner and a square keep within.
Stone walls cannot be fired. How are we to take them? We do not have the numbers to storm even a small castle.
You will make camp outside their walls and set to building catapults and siege engines.
That is not the old way. Have you forgotten? Iron men fight with swords and axes, not by flinging rocks. There is no glory in starving out a foeman.
Leobold will not know that. When he sees you raising siege towers, his old woman's blood will run cold and he will bleat for help. Stay your archers, uncle, and let the raven fly. The castellan at Winterfell is a brave man, but age has stiffened his wits as well as his limbs. When he learns that one of his king's bannermen is under attack by the fearsome Dagmar Cleftjaw, he will summon his strength and ride to Torlart's aid. It is his duty. Sir Roderick is nothing if not dutiful.
Any force he summons will be larger than mine,
Dagmar said,
and these old knights are more cunning than you think, or they would never have lived to see their first grey hair. You set us a battle we cannot hope to win, Theon. This Torren Square will never fall.
Theon smiled. It's not Torren Square I mean to take.